Well, I want to share a revelation concerning Babylon being guilty of the blood of the church and of much of the world. I guess we can really see that, can't we? Well, Gideon Smith sent me a revelation, and I'm going to share it with you along with a lot of scripture. And his revelation was this December 23rd. But first I want to say, in Revelation 17 and 5, we're told, "And upon her forehead a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of the harlots, of the abominations of the earth." Now, I've said for years that this has a double meaning, a secular meaning and a religious meaning. And today we're going to talk about the secular Babylon and what it's doing to the earth. And in 18 and 24, it's said, "And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that have been slain upon the earth." Well, like the U.S., Babylon was the greatest military and merchant nation of their time, and they were called, like the U.S., in Ezekiel 17, the Great Eagle. And just as Babylon was the head of the world beast, so the United States is the head of the world beast. It's hard to miss that America is Babylon. Spent a lot of time in Hidden Manna pointing out the parallels, but I'm not going to do that today. You can go there and read it if you like. Gideon said, "I had a dream in which a large owl was flying in the air. The owl was pretty big." Well, I believe that the owl represents wisdom and symbolizes the people of God in the United States. Not because they're showing a whole lot of wisdom, but because even the least of God's people has more wisdom than the world, and that's because of the Word of God that they have absorbed, or not absorbed. They know at least part of the Word, and that makes them wiser than the world. And the Word, of course, is wisdom. Jesus Christ, who is the Word, is called the wisdom of God several times. Proverbs 1 and 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction." And that's true even of people in the church. You know, wisdom should be preeminent above our desires to gain wisdom. How many promises God gives for wisdom? Proverbs 2 and 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." And 2 and 7, "He layeth up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk in integrity." A shield. So wisdom for the upright is needed for us to walk in integrity. And chapter 3 and 21 is, "My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." Well, because the church only has a little bit of wisdom, they're going to make this mistake that Gideon's about to talk about here. This owl flew and swooped down and began to attack a lion on the ground. Well, attacking a lion on his ground is uncharacteristically stupid for an owl. In fact, an owl probably has better sense, but a lot of Christians don't have better sense. I believe the lion is the president, and attacking the lion is against the command of the Lord and will cause him to make war on them. and he will win because of their sins. There's an article on the front of the site you can read if you like. It's The Sword of the Cross. And it will save a lot of people's lives if they would just listen to what the Word of God has to say about this. Well, anyway, our president is the King of Babylon, King of the United States. Wikipedia said that the Lion of Babylon is an ancient Babylonian symbol. And the Lion of Babylon symbolically represented the King of Babylon. Okay. So, anyway, I believe this is going to start with an attacks, obviously, that are happening now, just a lot of criticism. We like to point out prophetically what's going on the horizon so we can see where we are. But we've always said that the church definitely shouldn't be overly or spending a lot of time being critical of the president or doing what is ultimately going to lead to, and that's a civil war, because he's going to win, just as that article on the front of our site warns. He's going to win because the Lord ordained him to do what he's doing. We see how Daniel, you know, handled Nebuchadnezzar, although he did rebuke him for his sins. And but he was very submissive and polite. Anyway, Gideon went on to say, the lion was stronger, and it grabbed the owl and began to destroy it and rip it apart. The lion took the owl away and apparently devoured it. Well, the apostate leadership of Christianity is going to cause many Christians to rise up against the president. And, of course, they're going to lose. And the people of this apostate leadership are going to be devoured along with their leadership by Babylon. Jeremiah 51 and 34 says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath like a monster swallowed me up. He hath filled his maw with my delicacies. He hath cast me out. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitant of Zion say. And my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say. Yeah. Well, God's history shows that he uses evil nations to chasten his people and bring them to their cross. But then he turns on those nations and destroys them. And every great world order that has conquered God's people, you know, from Egypt to Rome, you know, was destroyed because of what they did to God's people. And Gideon went on to say, all I saw left of the owl was one of its wings, torn from its body. So, I believe that what he's talking about here is only the right wing, not the right wing as we know it in the political world, but only the right wing of the people of God in the U.S. will escape destruction because it came out from among them and obeyed God's word. So, only a wing is going to be rescued here, right? The rest of it was completely devoured. In other words, inside Babylon, taken over, totally conquered. And this will bring many of these people to repent and turn to God. Even if it's the last minute, you know, many will turn to God. And many, of course, are in the right political wing that aren't Christians at all, as we know. But they will still fight, and they will lose. There's people that are Christian in name only. Obviously, they're going to lose or repent and receive the fear of the Lord and repent. And we've got our great revival coming. Many people are going to come out of that sector of what we loosely call Christianity and turn to God. Gideon said, "The lion then appeared to have a supernatural glowing light all over its mane and body." It's like it's got an anointing from God, doesn't it? Well, it's kind of what the scripture says. "Then the lion began to run extraordinarily fast." In other words, faster than the eye could keep up with it, he said. The lion was powerful and very fast. Yes, it's going to be kind of like Alexander the Great's kingdom. Alexander was known for his speed. He overwhelmed an enemy with speed. And this is just like ancient Babylon, quickly conquered the people of God and the Middle East and the nations of the world. Now, this doesn't mean that Babylon is not guilty because God used them. God is going to empower this Babylonish U.S. to repeat history, as Jeremiah 25 speaks. It doesn't mean they're not guilty, and they are guilty, and they will be judged as guilty. This nation will be judged as guilty. Some people say, "Well, David, you don't act like you're an American." Well, I'm in America, but my loyalty is to the kingdom of God in America. I submit to America. I submit to its laws so we wouldn't be called a lawbreaker, which would do bad for the gospel, right? We submit to them unless, of course, they want us to rebel against God, and then we can't do it. But this repeat of history is in Jeremiah 25, and I'll just start in verse 9. It says, "I will send unto Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof." Well, this land is not only talking about Israel, God's people, but the surrounding nations around Israel. And he goes on to say, "and against all these nations round about." Well, we've kind of seen some of that, haven't we? Well, I don't think it's anything like it's about to be. "And I will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolations." Well, that's very interesting, folks. I mean, there's a lot of devastation and destruction coming in the Middle East. And God's doing it somewhat to protect Israel, and to, at any rate, a lot of that's coming over here that people don't know and don't believe. And we'll talk about that a little later. We, America's been very protected, but that's over. It's over. And it's not like we're out in the middle of the sea anymore and protected from our enemies. The enemy within has brought the enemy from without inside. The walls have fallen. The gates have fallen. But the Lord says he'll use Babylon to utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and perpetual desolations. Don't you know that the world is getting tired of America throwing its weight around and destroying nations for subtly and quietly and covertly destroying nations and raising up nations against other nations and all this? And that the day is coming. But the church had first better be pleasing unto God, because he's going to give Babylon or the United States all the authority it needs to bring the church to its cross. Verse 17 in Jeremiah 25 says, "Then I took the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink." And what are they drinking of? They're drinking of the destruction that Babylon is handing out. Are we seeing that? Yes, we are, but nothing like we're going to see. "Unto whom the Lord had sent me, to wit, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, and the kings thereof, and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse, as it is this day." And of course, the things that happen unto them are for our admonition, speaking about the Christians. Christianity and its structure and its foolish religious idolatry institutions, that's all going down the drain. And truly it was talking here about Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, the apostate leadership of Israel, and it represents the apostate leadership of Christianity, because the things that happen to them are for our admonition, speaking to the Christians. Verse 19 says, "Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants, and his princes, and all his people." You mean Babylon is going to bring devastation and destruction there? Yes, to everybody on this list. And this is everyone on this list is Middle Eastern nations around Israel. "And all the mingled people, and all the kings of the land of the Uz, and all the kings of the Philistines, and Ashkelon, and Gaza, and Ekron," Philistine groups, "and remnant of Ashdod, Edom, and Moab, the children of Ammon, all the kings of Tyre, all the kings of Sidon, all the kings of the isle which is beyond the sea, Dedan, and Tema, and Buz, and all that have the corners of their hair cut off, and all the kings of Arabia," yes, Arabia too, "and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the wilderness, and all the kings of Zimri, and all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, and all the kings of the north, far and near." I'm going to bring devastation to all of them. "One with another." You say, well, is America big enough to do this? Well, the way they're doing it, yes. Because they stir up people against people. They're very, you might say, factious. They stir up people against people so that they don't have to use all their manpower and weapons and so on and so forth. But that's not going to last forever. And then the judgment will come here. "And all the kingdoms of the world," all the kingdoms of the world are going to lose out because of what Babylon is doing. And they will eventually all join together and come against Babylon, the United States. "All the kingdoms of the world which are on the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak," which is an ancient name for Babylon, "shall drink after them." So after Babylon or the United States conquers these nations, it will be conquered. And history always repeats, because God is always on the throne. We can always find history in the Bible and say, look, this is what's happening now. Or this is what's going to happen if you've got prior knowledge of that. So history always repeats because God is always on the throne. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, "That which hath been is that which shall be. That which hath been done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Is there a thing whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been long ago in the ages which were before us. And of course, people don't learn from history, you know. In Jeremiah 27 and 6, just a couple of chapters after our text there, and now I have given all these lands, which is all the Middle Eastern lands around Israel, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. See, it doesn't matter that he's a vessel of dishonor or that Babylon itself is a vessel of dishonor. They are serving God for his purposes. This chastening that's coming upon the world will turn many to the Lord. My servant and the beasts of the field also have I given him to serve him. And you might say the beasts of the field. The field is the world, Jesus said. The beasts, Daniel described as kingdoms. Right? They will all serve him. All the nations shall serve him and his son's son until the time of his own land come. And then many nations and great kings shall make him their bondman. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, says the Lord, with the sword, with famine, with pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. I want to tell you something that this administration has inherited from the previous administration. Weapons that the previous administration acquired, released from legal storage and so on and so forth. They are able to nuke, to do biological warfare covertly in any kind of false flag that they want to do. And of course it says here famine. They are right now producing a famine by their spraying, aerial spraying, and taking away the moisture from the west coast and bringing it to the east coast and drowning out the east coast with very uncommon weather, fog, rain, so on and so forth. They're bringing the nation down on purpose. And he says, and still I have consumed them by his hand. It's happening. And it's going to get worse because they won't control. But as for you, hearken ye not to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreams, nor to your soothsayers, nor to your sorcerers that speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. I've heard them. I'm sure you have too. That they still have this patriotic thing about them. They're going to restore the nation and so on and so forth. For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out and you should perish. Yes, great rebellion is being raised up even now. Anger, rebellion. And I don't believe at all that the present administration is worried about that. In fact, I believe it's part of the scheme. And some of the people that don't lead God's people in the right direction and are full of a lot of paranoia and are raising up the nation angrily, with guns and everything else to be prepared to fight, they're not doing you a service. I'm not saying that their information sometimes isn't useful. I'm just saying they are speaking a spirit out of their mouth to raise up the right wing of the nation against the left wing. and they're going to lose, just like we just read. But the nation that shall bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, that nation will I let remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and shall dwell therein. And I spake to Zedekiah, king of Judah, who was a notorious apostate leadership of God's people, and he represents a notorious apostate leadership of God's people today, who is going to be conquered by Babylon. According to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. People are going to be provoked into doing more and more illegal things. You say, well, this is an illegal government. It doesn't make any difference. God put them in there. And everything that everybody's tried to do to remove them has failed. And even the people that the Christians thought would defend them have rolled over and played dead. Why? It's not because of the evil of the devil. It's because God, who is sovereign over the devil and every other vessel of dishonor, he works all things after the counsel of his own will, and nobody restrains his hand or says unto him, what are you doing? You know, they don't have a right to question God. God does what he wants in the armies of heaven and upon the earth, Daniel said. So, they're going to be raised up by their very evil leadership. I'm talking about so-called Christian leadership. And other people out there that aren't even Christian, but they have the Christian's ear, if you know what I mean. But the Lord says, why will you die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, as the Lord has spoken concerning the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon, and hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. They prophesy a lie unto you, for I have not sent them, says the Lord, but they prophesy falsely in my name, that I may drive you out, that you may perish, you and your prophets that prophesy unto you. I know preachers that have read this article in the front of the site, and it's quietened them down before when they were talking about rebellion and leaving the country and all these things, you know. But they forget it very quickly because of a spirit that's inside them. It's a spirit of anger and paranoia and self-righteousness. True righteousness can only submit to God. And when he says, don't rebel, I've put you there for a crucifixion. I've put you there to, Nebuchadnezzar was raised up to devour the flesh of God's people. Amen. So he puts you, people are rebelling against their cross. Your cross is an automatic thing whenever you obey God's word. When it tells you to do something your flesh don't want to do, and you obey, you're going to your cross. And when you rebel, you're doing exactly what he's talking about doing here. Right? There's a massive rebellion against God. The overwhelming majority of what is called Christianity is in that rebellion. And Nebuchadnezzar is God's stick to chasten his people, to bring repentance. And he says, submit to it. Have you ever whipped a child and the child got rebellious, stuck their lip out, got angry or something like that? Well, that's exactly what's going on. There are those that submit because of the fear and those that don't. They don't fear God. There is no fear of God in America. No scripture can turn the church back to to the way it's supposed to be walking as a disciple of Jesus Christ. No scripture will they listen to. And therefore, God has raised up an enemy like he has throughout history to bring his people to their cross. If you won't willingly go to your cross, at least God loves you enough to force you to your cross. And that's what this is all about. You can humbly submit, and if you don't, there'll be a lot worse chastening than otherwise. Humbly submit. Let God do the work. And because of this destruction of God's people, he's going to destroy the kingdom of Babylon as a type of the United States. And back in our original text in Jeremiah 51, it tells us that, say from 36 on down. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee. In other words, God said, leave it up to me. I'm going to do it. I'll take care of Babylon and its king. And take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea, talking about Babylon, and make her fountain dry. And Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for jackals, an astonishment and a hissing without inhabitant. Well, you say, many people would say, who have a very patriotic spirit, well, God, why would you destroy our nation? Let us pray for this nation. Let us see, let us restore this nation. It's not what we want. It's what God wants. It's what he knows we need. It is because God's people have not submitted to obedience to the scripture that God is turning this nation against Christianity and is going to judge Christianity by this nation. God has decided to do it. Now, you can kick against the pricks, so to speak, or you can humbly submit and say, yes, Lord, I deserve it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me and help me to see your word and help me to repent and turn to you. Amen? But the rebellion against the rod of authority that the Lord is bringing is going to make it a lot worse. Romans 13 is plain. I know the patriots many times speak against Romans 13 like it's not in the Bible. That's ridiculous. And it's not the only place it's written. It's written all over the Bible to submit to authority. They want you to rebel. These are the false prophets who want you to rebel and fight against this nation, against this presidency. They shall roar together like young lions. They shall growl as lions' whelps. And when they are heated, I will make their feast, and I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep, and not awake, says the Lord. Well, you know, I think they're kind of doing that in a way. With all the chemtrails, dumbing the people down and sowing them with nanoparticles so that they can control them and control their minds and so on and so forth. So, it's there's a stupor coming over many people. They are just content to look at their surroundings and, you know, deal with it the best they can. They don't really get into politics and things like that, you know, which I'm not recommending for Christians, but anyway, there's a stupor coming upon them. And he says, I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with he-goats. How is Shishak taken, the praise of the whole earth seized? How has Babylon become a desolation among the nations? See, that's coming. That is coming. It's going to be a just recompense for what Babylon has done to God's people. It was necessary. It was needed. God always uses the vessels of dishonor to chasten and bring to the cross his people. A desolation among the nations. Don't think you're going to save Babylon. You are not. The word of the Lord tells you what's going to happen to her. The sea has come up upon Babylon. And that could, of course, mean the multitudes and tribes and nations and tongues, which the Revelation tells you is the sea, right? The sea has come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. Amen. Her cities are become a desolation, a dry land and a desert, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither does any son of man pass thereby. Babylon is a spiritual entity that has taken over America. And I will execute judgment upon Baal. You might as well say Baal. It's the false Jesus of Babylon. And that's happening. You know, they're making little of and persecuting Christmas, but for goodness sake, saints, why would you stand up and fight about that? Christmas has never been godly. None of the principles in it are godly. Giving to receive is forbidden. Giving to the rich is forbidden. On and on and on. Lying to your children about Santa Claus is, of course, forbidden. And who is it that's supposed to get the credit for everything that we receive? A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven, the Bible says. Babylon is full of this false Christianity, and God is sick of it. And he's decided that we're so close to the end of the age here that he's going to save a people. And this is how he's planning to do it. And who are we to gripe? Right? He's going to judge the false god in Babylon. And I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up. And that is, of course, God's people. There is going to be a salvation, a resurrection. You might even say, kind of like Jonah, you know, who was swallowed by the whale. While he was there, he repented. And that was the blessing. And that's why God prepared the great fish, right? Amen. And the nations shall not flow any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. And it's happening. I mean, obviously the enemy is flooding in right now. The troops that are going to, believe it or not, obey the king of Babylon. Yeah. They're flooding the country. They're going to do his bidding. They're going to help take down the right wing, for one thing. They're going to hit churches. They're going to burn churches. A lot of Christians are going to feel very, very bad about the things that are happening. But you see, we just have to get on God's side. We have to see things from God's point of view. You know, people who are self-willed, they tend to tweak the scriptures to fit their purposes and make them feel good about themselves and about their religion, about their preacher, and so on and so forth. But none of this is going to work for very long. It'll just get you killed. My people, go ye out of the midst of her. Save yourselves, every man, from the fierce anger of the Lord. Well, did you notice that the people that submitted to the king of Babylon were going to be all right? He wants you to come out of Babylon's ways, its thinking, all these things. It's not a physical coming out. He commanded us to be in the world, but not of the world. That's what he's talking about. You can't leave the world unless you die. But there are many that only see the letter that want you to flee out of the midst of the United States, which you're obviously, the United States is going to conquer all the nations. What good is that going to do? And they'll use, you know, whatever kind of terrorist or anybody that they can use to do this. Let not your heart faint, neither fear ye for the tidings that shall be heard in the land. For tidings shall come 1 year, and after that in another year shall come tidings and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. And I do believe that this is talking about the civil war in the midst of Babylon that's being raised up by those who break God's covenant. Yeah, in Ezekiel 17, God was angry with his people because they broke the covenant that they had with the head of Babylon, right? So, you know, just as I finished this dream, I was, you know, writing my notes in it. Just as I finished this, I heard the ding on my computer that tells me when another email has come in. And when I looked, this was there, quite providentially, quite out of the sovereignty of God, this was there. And it's a revelation that was given to Dolores Ford on October the 22nd of this year. And we called it Blood Poured Out. She said, I had a very short dream. I was sitting across a kitchen table from President Obama. And I went to the kitchen faucet to get a drink of water. And when I turned the faucet on, instead of water, blood poured out into my glass. Blood. You remember when the king of Babylon and Daniel called for the gold and silver vessels that were taken from God's house by Nebuchadnezzar. He called for them and put wine in them and partook of the wine. And it was a symbol, of course, of wine represents the nature, like the body and blood of Christ, right? It represents the blood. And they were partaken of that blood. They were guilty of the blood of the saints and of the prophets and of all that have been shed upon the earth. And, of course, God then conquered Babylon after they did that. The king and his royal ladies and royal people, you know, drank wine from those vessels of God's house. We are those vessels of God's house. So, when she turned the faucet on, instead of water, blood poured out into her glass. I showed this to President Obama, but he didn't react at all. In other words, it was all according to his will. I tried a second time to get a drink of water. When I turned the faucet on, once again, blood came out into my cup. And she said, I'm pondering what this may mean. One thing for sure, our cup of iniquity is full and overflowing. This is true. And really, that's all we have to do is please God. If we're pleasing unto God, He makes our enemies to be at peace with us, right? He makes it. He causes it to happen. Because He's in control, right? Well, this bloodletting is, it started already in small ways here in the United States, but we just have to be prepared for what is coming. It's coming in a big way, you know. In the San Bernardino attack, there was obviously a much bigger plan for the future, since they had a bomb-making factory, which was not even used. It appears that they got insulted, they got angry, and they went out to do a little job before the big job. But there was a big job. And now we're finding that propane tanks are being stolen across the country. Many, many cell phones to trigger them are being acquired, because all you got to do is ring up a cell phone and it will set off some explosive, some dynamite, some plastic explosives on one of these propane tanks, and it makes one heck of a explosion. So all this is being bought across the country or stolen. Many of the propane tanks are being stolen. And, of course, we're being warned of a mass terrorist bombing attacks across the country in dreams and visions and by the word that we're receiving and from the terrorists themselves. At last count, over 100 cities have been warned of coming attacks by bombs and their army here, ISIS's army here. And ISIS has made it clear that the false refugee scandal is their Trojan horse to attack Europe and the United States. They've made it clear. And, of course, President Obama's not worried about a thing because everything's according to schedule, just like this dream. And when Christians who do not obey their Bibles fight against this in the flesh, they'll become the enemy and will be attacked by the media and these troops being brought into the country. And it's not going to end until America as we know it is dead. America was a very prosperous, blessed nation, but that's all run out. I mean, you know the cycle in the scriptures. God blesses and prospers the nation that serves him, the people that serve him. And when they get prospered, they get lifted up. All their blessings, and they get lifted up in their prosperity and get rebelling against God and are lured by the thought of gain. They turn away from the Lord. Then the Lord brings judgment to humble them, to bring the fear of the Lord back to them. And then there's a turnaround. Well, that's where we are now. It won't be stopped. That mercy, of course, God's merciful even in judgment. So sometimes he gives mercy. But it won't be stopped. So what do we do? Well, we draw near to the Lord. We repent of all sin, everything that displeases him, everything that would make him want to bring us to our cross to get us ready for the coming kingdom. We believe in the Passover lamb of Exodus chapter 12. Of Psalm 91, we believe in the Passover lamb. If you confess your sins and you're walking after the Lord and in whatever knowledge that you have, you can't do any better. And the Lord knows that. And he'll bless you. But those that rebel because they don't want the whipping, or they don't even believe that God is sovereign, because they haven't studied their Bible, it's a major important thing that we understand the sovereignty of God. So many people have gotten so much knowledge of our book, Sovereign God, for us and through us. How so many people have understood and learned how to cooperate with God in whatever they're going through. They've learned why Jesus said to turn the other cheek, to resist not him that's evil, to love your enemy. They learned why. It is because these people are put there to bring us to our cross. And we have to cooperate with our cross. We have to love our cross. It is the way of salvation. There are many people who have not borne fruit, or they've lost the fruit they had when they were first saved. Personally, I believe when people come into the kingdom and they're in love with the Lord, they have that 30-fold fruit. But soon they get caught up in religion and willfully disobeying more and more scripture to obey their idolatrous institutions. And they lose even what they had. And God's got to turn them around. He has to turn His rebellious people around. It's getting late. He has to do drastic things now because of the rebellion. What can we do? Well, we can read His Word, believe it, stand upon it, understand it, cooperate with it, all these things. Because major, major judgment is coming. Many people are going to die. We pray that those that haven't borne fruit will have moments to repent anyway. Because many people are going to die. And some people are going to die suddenly. They're going to be taken away. And then this is some of these bombs that we're talking about. There has to be repentance. Father, we just ask You in Jesus' name, open Your people's eyes concerning what is going on. They think there's a war going on between You and the devil, and they don't understand that You are absolutely sovereign in all things, and that they have received this demotion in this world for Your purposes. They have lost this country for Your purposes. But this country never was the kingdom of God to begin with. It's never been the righteous nation that Christians were taught that it was. And they only thought it was righteous because they were in rebellion against Your word, Lord. They haven't become familiar with Your voice, Your ways, Your thinking, but are worldly. Just like this worldly country, the beast has come into the temple of God. An abomination. And the beast, of course, meaning the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, which is the forehead and the hand, where the mark identifies who these people are. There's a lot of Christians that are going to take the mark of the beast because they don't think they can be lost. But the mark of the beast identifies who they are. And they don't understand that. They've been marked. Marked for destruction. Well, Lord, we're just asking You to have mercy and give knowledge and wisdom and understanding and a desire for truth. Lord, have them, what You put in my heart many years ago, Lord, have them pray for truth. Even when they think they have it, have them pray for truth. And then open their eyes, open the doors, and bring them out, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Meanwhile, sometimes the enemy is doing more to preserve us than our own country. I know Stan Patton just sent me a link to a aerial drone photos of a Damascus suburb called Jobar. A very large city there, right on the edge of Damascus. It's totally shot up, bombed up, shot through with tanks, the whole thing. It's amazing. You can go there and do a search for it. Jobar of Damascus. And I've heard that ISIS was offered buses to clean out of there and go to some place where ISIS is in control. I'm guessing that that's probably happened by now. I don't know. But it's just amazing. And of course, Stan was reminding us of Isaiah 17. I'm not sure this is a fulfillment of that. When it says Damascus in Isaiah 17, I think it's really talking about all of Damascus. And of course, this may be heading in that direction. You know, Isaiah 17 says, the burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city. So, well, they just took a large portion, a large chunk of its suburb, and it shall be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aroer are forsaken. They shall be for flocks, which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Well, I imagine that that's probably what will happen there. And the fortress shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord of hosts. Mm-hmm. So I think they got a long way to go to bring down all of Damascus, but it could happen. It could happen. Also, I want to share with you something else about what God's going to do to bring His people in line. And this is a revelation given to Chris Garber. And I'm calling it, the earthquakes are bringing the cross. And because he had a revelation of coming earthquakes. And he got that this month on the 23rd. He said, I had these two quick dreams in the early morning on December the 23rd, 2015. In the first dream, I was with a group of people in a mall or a shopping area of some sort. And I got the impression that most of the folks may have been Christmas shopping or something. Well, this was on the 23rd, so it was only 2 days in the future. He said, I had the sense that there was a holiday or something just a day or two away. In the dream, that is. Well, in the natural, of course, that was true too, right? So, if this was Christmas shopping, this would indicate just before Christmas, right? Of course, there's no year signified here, so we better not state one. I'm talking about in the dream concerning the timing and everything. But he says, after this, in an instant, it was very noisy, and there was a deafening sound, kind of a rumble sound. And I thought maybe this is the first quake on the New York East Coast, right? And the people started to panic and to scream and to run in every direction. You know, there is a fault line that is right there in New York. It's called the New York-Alabama anomaly. It's an old, old fault line. And it doesn't just go to Alabama. It goes all the way out into the Gulf. So, but anyway, it could shake a lot. Besides New York. I just, you know, I don't know that. It's just a possibility. It could shake quite a bit. Well, people started to panic and scream and run in every direction. And then the scene changed, and I was viewing the United States, the lower 48, from above, and it looked like a map. I could still hear the rumble very loud. And all at once, the ground began to ooze and bubble water. Uh-oh, water's going into the ground somewhere. Could it be the Great Lakes? I knew there was an earthquake, a big one, happening. And I suppose that this was the second quake at the New Madrid zone. And I'm not saying the second quake. We've got lots of quakes, but there are major ones coming, like the New York, New Madrid, Tennessee Valley, West Coast. But I suppose this was the second quake at the New Madrid zone. By the way, that was, if it is, that would be the resurrection of the man-child, I believe. The first one was the death of the man-child Jesus. The second quake in the scriptures was the resurrection of the man-child Jesus to the throne. And I believe that the Lord is saying at the time of the New Madrid, the man-child ministry will be resurrected to the throne after their own crucifixion, their spiritual crucifixion. So, even in the time when there will be a lot of repentance, a lot of grief, a lot of loss of life, and people cry out to God, He's going to send them the Lord Jesus manifested in the man-child ministry at this time. So that's my thoughts. That's my thinking, at least right now. And the map scene, he said, and the lower 48 states are violently shaking. Could the whole country shake from the New Madrid? You betcha. Yeah, it could very well happen. Almost happened before. Violently shaken. The lower 48 states. Everything was shaking, he said. And the country split in pieces in the area of the Mississippi River. And water was going everywhere. And yes, from all the maps that people have seen, that's exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be vast, vast acreage. Vast square miles of water. Not all of it's going to stay there. Some of it's going to drain off, but it will have done what damage it needed to do. Let me just put it that way. And that's the point I heard. New Madrid, twice. Could this be a confirmation that it's surely going to come to pass according to Joseph's statement, you know, about the duplication? It could be. And then I woke up. And I remembered thinking, boy, those dreams sure were accurate. Yes. Can you imagine what happened to the nation after 9/11 when this next false flag comes? What's going to happen to the nation? What kind of grief, anxiety, crying out to God is going to happen? We're talking about a great loss of life. And devastation to the country. Which breaks up people pretty bad because of their patriotic spirit. And nobody wants to see these things happen. The Lord Himself doesn't want to see these things happen. It's just that people won't listen. He has sent His prophets. He sent His John the Baptist, so to speak, crying for repentance. Not that I'm talking about the John the Baptist. I'm just pointing out that there's been much word gone forth. Many people spoken to, and so on and so forth. And nothing has happened. And it's just because of rebellion and evil spirits that have taken over the body. That there hasn't been any repentance. And something just has to happen. A chastening has to come. And this is what has been spoken of here. I believe this is one of those underground weapons that has been passed on from the last administration to this one. Because we have dreams about that. Very clear dreams about the right wing losing this war, and this is going to be part of it right here. Martial law. I don't believe the president's going anywhere, at least in the near term. Later on, yes, but not right now. I don't believe he's going anywhere. I believe he'll stay in office with martial law, and I do believe it's going to be a permanent martial law. In fact, I believe he has an executive order to bring a permanent martial law. It has been revealed. But that don't mean he won't get fired by his bosses, right? At any rate, he's in there for us right now. The second dream started as soon as I went back to sleep. I felt I was close to home, but I didn't recognize the place. And I was with two friends, both of whom are still very lost. We were walking along in ankle-deep water in this pond-like area. It was real wide, but the water was moving and was only ankle-deep. And I said, "Hey, guys, look at this. The ground is cracking and moving." And I could see and bent down to look at two rocks that were moving back and forth, I guess on either side of the crack, right? And slowly rising. And the water started to rise. And as I tried to move around the crack, I felt myself being sucked in by the ground movement. Well, I believe that this is a sign of liquefaction caused by quakes. Whole cities, like Memphis, you know how the scripture tells us that Memphis is going to be destroyed, and it will, and we've received that verse many times when we were asking about earthquakes and things like that. Whole cities like Memphis, which is on river silt, and it's right by the New Madrid, can be sunk in quicksand-like earth that is liquefied by the rapid movement of the quake. So there's going to be a lot of that, a lot of land just disappearing, with a lot of souls too. I believe that's why he was walking there, to show us that. And the other two took a different path around, but we were talking about how there had never been an earthquake in the area. Yeah, if the whole nation shakes, there'll be earthquakes where there's never been earthquakes before. I do believe this is going to be a big one. And yes, places where there's never been earthquakes. There are disasters going on around the country that are nothing like the disasters that are coming if this happens in this way. One of the most precipitous places is where our nuclear reactors are. They're usually around a fault because a lot of rivers that it takes to, put a lot of water in there to cool down the reactors and things are the result of faults. And so that's going to be very, very nasty. I'm convinced of it. There's a dam called Boone's Dam up north. That water's been gushing under it since I think October before then. I believe it's been gushing water under it. They've been frantically running around trying to stop it. Most of you probably have never heard of it. And they probably wouldn't want you to hear about it either. They haven't made a big thing out of it, but it is a big thing. It's like a 165-foot tall dam with a lake, Boone Lake, at the top of it. And, of course, the lower side where it releases the water is like 160 feet down. And so Boone Lake they had to lower the lake to keep it from washing out underneath the dam. And it's still washing, and they ain't been able to stop it. And now they're talking about 200 to $300 million to drive, I think, 50 pillars down the inside, 300 feet, 250 to 300 feet deep, and then they're going to push out mortar down there to try to stop it. And 50 of those, and then they're going to do 70 more of them, and it should, they say, stabilize the dam. I don't think they're going to stabilize. I think that the fault line, one of the fault lines we've got, goes up through there, and I don't believe they're going to fix it. But they know, and they have said, that if they don't fix it, the dam's going to blow, you know. Which is nothing. I mean, I believe the same problem that we've got around the world right now, with land moving, with cracks showing, with sinkholes showing, it is what I believe scientists have said, is that the inner core of the Earth is being heated up by the sun, and it's expanding, and that's where all this is coming from. I don't think they're going to fix it. I think there's going to be a lot more Fukushimas out there than we know. And I'll tell you this, the Lord told us very plainly in a dream that if you're not afraid of it, it can't hurt you. Fear will destroy you. But anyway, they think it'll take 6 or 7 years to stop the thing, in which case they won't be able to even fill the lake back up until that time. So, I mean, that's just one. I think there's several of them that they're having trouble with. And it's all because of this movement of earth. You can't, these old dams, some of them are earthen dams. And they will not take the movement of the earth like that. And large stretches of concrete won't take it either. The expansion and contraction is too much. So we're going to see major, major problems in this nation. And I think a lot of people know that. But this is this kind of earthquake right here could break a bunch of those. Make major, major devastation in this country. Certainly crash the economy. Certainly. Finish it off, I should say. It's already, I think, crashed, but this could totally finish it off. And Chris said he noticed that the water was moving faster and faster, and so he woke up. And he said, I asked the Lord for direction. And I flipped my Bible open and put my finger perfectly and squarely on the word Babylon. There you go. In Daniel 4:30. And, you know, in the text around Daniel 4:30, it's very connected to the verses around it. They all happen at the same time. So you would pay attention to the text around Daniel 4:30. But in the text at the end of 12 months, I believe secondarily where we almost are now on our calendar is at the end of 12 months. But it says in the text that at the end of 12 months, the king of Babylon, which is the king of the United States, starts devouring the grass or the flesh of Christians for 7 years. And, of course, I have to mention that it's possible that it would be after the biblical 12th month of Adar, which is February and March. But literally, it is speaking of 12 months after Daniel's reproof to the king in the previous text to break off of his sins. And his warning to him about just what was going to happen if he didn't. And this text is the happening. 12 months later, it's happening. You see, so sometimes God can use secondary revelations hidden in there for you. That's why I mentioned that. But literally, it's talking about that. So Daniel 4:28 says, and all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months So that's the text I was talking about. He was walking in the royal palace of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon?" Now he put his finger on this right here, Babylon. "Is this not great Babylon which I have built for the royal dwelling place by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" He's a little puffed up, wasn't he? "And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken." In other words, hey, you heard the word. You heard the warning from Daniel. You heard the warning from me. And now it's 12 months later, and it's going to happen. "The kingdom is departed from thee." And let me explain what this could possibly mean. "And thou shalt be driven from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field." In other words, he's becoming a beast, right? You remember his hair grew, his feathers grew, and his claws grew, and he was a beast. "And thou shalt be made to eat grass as oxen." Okay, you remember what Peter said about that. He said, "All flesh is as grass." "And 7 times shall pass over thee." So while he's in this madness, he's going to be devouring flesh, which is grass. While he's in this mad state, is he going to get worse than he is now? Obviously. 7 times, you know, a time, times and a half. A time was 3.5 years in the book of Revelation. So we know these times are years. 7 years shall pass over thee. While he's in this madness, right? "Until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." So, Peter said, all flesh is as grass, and the 7 times are the 7 years, like the tribulation. So the king lost his mind for 7 years while he devoured the flesh of God's people, as is also said in Jeremiah 51 and 34. We have a confirmation there, a very clear confirmation. "Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me." Speaking of God's people. "He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath like a monster swallowed me up. He hath filled his maw with my delicacies. He hath cast me out." Yep, Christians used to reign and rule in this country and were very respected and so on and so forth, but God took away that respect. He turned all our lovers against us. Why? Because of sin, because of rebellion against the Word. And this Daniel text was God's answer to Chris, and it seems to signify that the king of Babylon has something to do with these quakes and what comes during the martial law afterwards, when he is truly going to be king. Okay? Because I can tell you, Christianity is going to its cross. You know, the cross that God's people have avoided will suddenly be upon them. You know, the Lord says, desire not the night when men are cut off in their place. Many people are, oh boy, this day of the Lord. No, it's not literally the day of the Lord, but it is a day of the Lord. It is a day of the Lord's visitation, and it is a day of judgment. Not like the great and terrible day of the Lord at the end of the tribulation period, but just such a day as here. We're not to desire the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, the Lord says. What we are desiring is a restoration of Zion. The glorious chapters there in the end of Isaiah about this restoration of Zion, they're just awesome. But let me tell you, these are going on during hard times. And anybody that needs chastening is going to get it because God loves His people. And I believe that there is a group of people that have come to somewhat of maturity in that they are bearing fruit, you know. You know, we had a revelation concerning spring and the fall. And, of course, we just passed through that. And we saw everything, all kinds of fruit trees and things blooming. I saw some today. Somebody brought their phone in to our morning prayer meeting and showed it to me. A plant that's blooming, not supposed to happen. None of this is supposed to happen. It's a sign from God, I'm telling you. And I believe God has chosen His bride. So, we also just now received another revelation from Belinda Anderson concerning earthquakes, okay? And it's all about praying and listening. You know, when you're afraid, you just do what seems right to your mind. You know, you may run, but you may run from a lion and meet a bear, as the scripture says, so to speak. And but if you pray and listen to the Lord, He has your best interests at heart. And He can answer you where you should be, where you shouldn't be, what you should do. We can't stop serving the Lord and start serving fear because something has happened in the world, right? Because fear is a spirit. It's never going to do you right. It's never going to lead you right. The only fear that's legal is the fear of the Lord. If you fear Him, then you want to find out what He wants you to do, right? Because He knows. People that move by fear, the devil is driving them. They are serving the devil. So, anyway, this revelation, let me share it from Belinda. I dreamed that I was over at a park walking around the lake like I do 2 or 3 times a week, weather permitting. I had already done 1 lap and was a quarter of the way into the 2nd lap when I was led of the Spirit to stop and listen. And as I stopped walking, I realized that everything around me was completely still. No birds were singing or sounds of the ducks on the water. Nothing. Of course, you know, this is a dream now, so remember that. Everything around me was completely still. And as I stood still, taking this in, I suddenly heard in the Spirit what was about to take place. So what's the parable here? I mean, pray and listen to the Lord. Even now, saints, concerning these things that are coming, pray and listen to the Lord. Find out what He wants for you. And even when the quake happens, like in this dream, stop, pray, listen to the Lord. Find out what He wants for you. I prayed and I asked the Lord to give me time to call David and to ask him to have Michael send out a group text to everyone who has a radio. Because obviously when earthquakes happen, lots of phones will be down, obviously. All over the country there will be ham radios going. But to everybody who has a radio, and to give us time to notify the entire UBM assembly of the message from God. Of course, she's talking about in our area here, which we've already been informed concerning these earthquakes in our area. And I began to walk back to the truck as I was told in the Spirit to get up, to the top parking lot quickly and get away from the lake. Well, I think that this is probably good advice for a lot of people because water does strange, unexpected movements during quakes, especially the Mississippi River. And we have been told about the quakes in our own area, which come after the New York and the New Madrid quakes. And it appears that these will come within a few days, having affected each other, right? And when the New York quake comes, which the mainstream media will falsely downplay, people in the West should listen to the Lord, who will guide you away from dangerous areas like he did here with Melinda. I think we should pay attention if the New York quake comes, that these others are going to be right behind it, and we shouldn't be in a bad area. But we may have 3 days between the New York and New Madrid to go wherever God wants us to go, should we be in a bad area. So just take that as a warning for what it's worth. And Belinda said, as I was walking, I took my cell phone out of my back pants pocket and called David. And David answered. I told him what I heard in the spirit, that an earthquake was upon us, and we had to act fast. I was told in the spirit to tell everyone to pray for protection, and then to praise the Lord. That's good advice. You pray, and then you just give thanks and praise unto God. And no matter what we see, hear, or feel, just keep on praising the Lord for His promise of protection throughout this earthquake. Amen. I knew that we must not give in to any kind of fear. And as I said, fear is a spirit. It'll move unbelievers out, just as God drove them out of the promised land by the hornet. You remember that? I believe that that was a spirit of fear. Of course, people who fear are not made perfect in love, the Bible says. And as I got into the truck, I remembered that Missy didn't have a cell phone, so I called her. Gave her the message that I had received from the Lord. Then I called Amber and gave her the message from the Lord and asked her to go get Judy and Lakeisha and bring them to her house and for all of them to remain there until the earthquake stops. The Lord can give you certain direction. You know, this is the whole point here. Not that it will be the same direction as these, but the Lord will give you direction. At the time, you need to know about it. Sometimes He won't do it ahead of time. Sometimes God's last minute even. He wants to know if you're going to trust Him. But don't worry. I mean, He has an angel, big angel standing right next to you. They'll take care of you. The main thing is, how are you going to react? And fear gives permission to the devil to do you bad, right? But faith keeps that angel working on your side. So don't forget that. Don't fall apart. Just put your trust in the Lord and pray and thank Him. No matter what happens. Because there are many judgments that are going to come upon this nation. And we've got to learn to continue walking in the Lord, abiding in Him. And she said, then I quickly got out of the truck and I was directed of the Spirit where to go and sit down. And just as I sat down, the ground began to shake. So what's the moral of this story? Pray and listen to the Lord who will guide you. Don't be fearful about where you are. If you've told the Lord, Lord, I'm ready to move, just tell me when. I did that when I was down on the Gulf Coast, when the Lord revealed to us that we were going to have to leave the Gulf Coast in order to continue as a ministry. And I think that was in 1998 that the Lord revealed that to us. And I just told the Lord, Lord, I'll be here till you tell me to go. He told me we were going to move to Tennessee, but he didn't tell me where. So, and I'm telling you, there were people, there were prophets, there were people that contacted me and said, man, don't you know where you are? Don't you know what's coming there? And I said, yeah, but it's not going to come here while I'm here. I guess they thought I was arrogant, but I wasn't. I just knew that the Lord would move me out whenever I could rest in Him. I could trust in Him. He loved me. He loved this ministry. He was going to provide for this ministry. He built it Himself. He showed me that many years before. And so I just had that rest. And they would try to get me out of the rest. And some of them ran and built a big place up in the mountains, and all that fell apart because everybody around them fell apart. Some of these people calling themselves prophets. I just told them, well, I'm not worried about it, because when it's time for me to move, I will. And that's exactly what the Lord did. I was just in the rest, trusting in Him. And some people believe that because an earthquake didn't happen immediately after I left down there, that I had missed the Lord. But no, we had asked the Lord for a specific thing to happen, and as our sign. And it did. It came. So we moved. Now, we told people what was coming there, and it is coming there. And so I don't think any of that's going to miss. But then the Lord moved us here, and He's been getting us ready. He's been sanctifying us, and people that join themselves to us, you know, because of their own fears or desires of being at a certain place with a certain group of people instead of following the Lord, have had to move on because God separated them. And the body has been sanctified. I believe that this spring and fall has to do with that. And a remnant here has been sanctified and ready to be used. I think we got a great revival coming, and I think that's why He wanted a sanctified body. And so I'm just praising God. I've seen Him do miracles. Some of them I can't tell you about yet. But one day, I'll be able to tell you. And God is so awesome. He has prepared us for this, as many of you out there have too. You know, we're not saying at all that this is Zion here locally, you know. I believe we're a part of it. But He has a people that are members of the body of Zion or the bride throughout this country. And they're fellowshipping with UBM throughout the country, going through their own trials where they are, maturing in the Lord because that's what they desire, you know, taking up their cross, following Jesus, so that they don't have to be forced into it later. You remember sharing on this so many times, you know, that if we will willfully take up our cross and go out into our own wilderness of weakness to self and strength in God and resting in God and so on and so forth, these principles, you know, that God can get us ready and we won't have to go through this being forced to do it. In the coming days. As we can see from these revelations that I've shared, the Lord is about to force the church into taking up their cross. And some people have been living that way for many years. and being sanctified in the Lord. So, as I've always said, you know, going out in the wilderness, don't wait for the crowds. That's what Moses did, right? And there came a time when God sent him back for his people to bring them to that mountain of God experience that he had. Amen. So, the Lord showed me that he was going to build our ministry down there in Pensacola and then move to Tennessee. And many years ago, actually, he caught me up above Louisiana where I lived, and I looked down the interstate and I saw a tower down there in Pensacola where we went. And the Lord began to show me that that tower represented that ministry that he was going to build. Start building there. And he did. And I actually, you know, in vision was caught up above the Baton Rouge area where I was and looked down the interstate and I saw that there. And the Lord gave me another vision where I went up this mountain and to what I thought represented the New Jerusalem at the top, and these great doors opened, and there standing in front of me was a representation of the Father as a great king. And he ushered me in, and he showed me the tower, which I didn't understand before. He showed me this tower that was in the middle of Mount Zion. And it was made of logs that were kind of stacked up like a log cabin, you know, crossing at each corner. Each person represented a log, and the logs were crossing at the corners. In other words, they were all bearing their cross. And they were one because they were bearing their cross. People can't be one without bearing the cross. All of their self-righteousness, their self-glory, separates them, like star glory, right? Moon glory is becoming one because of death. And sun glory is one in the life of Christ, the resurrection life of Christ. So anyway, I'm standing here looking at this tower, and the Father said, because my son died in the ministry, I want you to have this. And then he handed me a payment book that had so much a month there. And, of course, we had gone into the full-time ministry, but we had no visible means of support, no organization behind us or anything like that. But Mary and I figured up after a year or so what our average income was, and it came out to within a few dollars of that, what the Lord told us, and I'm sure he was right and we weren't. But very, very close. And it was enough to where we still had to walk by faith every day. And we did. We walked by faith every day to bring that in. We had no visible means of support. But there came a time when he moved us to Pensacola, and that tower was begun. The tower of the flock, you know, which is Zion, which is what we've been spiritually building on, a foundation for that. And the Lord was a great blessing to us because we really learned to walk by faith a lot more there than we had before. And that was many years ago. But I believe that that tower is, in a way, all over this land. People who are learning to bear their cross and become one with one another, even though they may not even be in a local assembly with a group of people, you know. Well, there are Bible studies out there all over this land that are part of UBM, and they join us and so on, but and other lands too, other parts of the world. And so it's been a great blessing to see God do what He's done. And I really believe the greatest part of it all is just ahead. Just ahead. A great move of His Spirit. All I want to do is be counted faithful and overcome in the trials the Lord puts me through so I can be part of that, right? And you too, right? And so, I remember when many years ago, when I lived outside of Pensacola there, there had been a young fella that I knew who had a dream that he had come to my house, or he'd come to my neighbor's house, and my neighbor had pointed him over to my house, and when he came over to my house, we were loading up a van to go to Florida. This was many years ago. It was probably 7 years or so before we actually did move. So, in the dream, he came there and he saw us and he was helping us load up the van, and I had showed him this piece of paper, and he said he remembered looking at it. He said it had a word on there that started with a P, and I said to him at that time when I was trying to interpret the revelation, I said, "You mean pension?" He says, "Yeah." Well, it was really a severance pay for me, you know. They gave me so much severance. And a little bit, you know, after 65 or something like that. But anyway, I hadn't seen the guy in many, many years. And he showed up, like I said. Showed up at our neighbor's house, and the guy's name was Bruce, and Bruce pointed him over there to us, and sure enough, there was the van backed up to the house. We were loading it up, just like he saw in his vision, exactly like he saw in his vision. He came over there, and sure enough, I had taken the severance pay and quit Exxon. I'd spent many years at Exxon, and we had a church out there, and it was very successful in blessing a lot of people. Many people came into much deeper knowledge of the Lord, and it was a great thing, really great experience for me. But I was going into the more full-time ministry, even though I had a pretty much full-time ministry there. But I was going more into the full-time, and of course, he had showed up, and everything he saw happened that day. And the Lord moved us to Pensacola. And the Lord provided for everything. You know, we had a miracle. I knew I was about to move, you know, when they offered the severance pay. And so I started praying, and I agreed with the brethren out at Exxon there that I was fixing to leave, and that the Lord would provide us a house and a car, because my car I was needing another one, so we agreed for that. And a week later, my wife and Deborah got in a wreck, crumpled up the car pretty bad. And it's funny how the Lord can bring things to pass, but He miraculously did it, because, you know, when they were trying to get her out of the car with the jaws of life, you know, bust the doors open because it was pretty well smacked up on both sides. There was no way to get into it. It was a Toyota Corolla, by the way. But the guy who had hit us, or hit them, from behind was in a big Lincoln. And I think he was looking off Christmas shopping on the sides of the road instead of watching. And so the red light, there was a Cadillac in front of Mary and Deborah that had turned red, and the Cadillac was stopping, and they were stopping behind the Cadillac, and then this guy was behind them in the big Lincoln, and he just slammed right into him and wrecked everything up in front of him. But anyway, so when they were still in the car, actually a person came up alongside him and says, "Oh, don't worry, that guy's got good insurance." And then we don't know who that was that did that. But the guy that hit him was like, he was the president of a very large warehouse corporation there. And they were self-insured. And he had something like 100, 300, and 100 insurance, which I'd never even heard of anybody getting that much. But anyway, it was their own insurance company. And he was just so apologetic. You know, he was so sorry. He was wrong. He was looking off and didn't paying attention. And he was just very grieved over his actions. And anyway, he told us, he said, "Well, don't worry about a thing. I'm going to take care of everything." Now, if you want somebody to, if you got to get run into by somebody, that's the guy right there. He said, "I'm going to take care of everything." And sure enough, he did. He totally blessed us. And we, of course, got a new car because we had a big station wagon for all the kids. And then we had this Toyota Corolla, which we did a lot of our running around in. And so he got us another one of them and got us enough money to buy a brand new car and to buy a house, because I had agreed with the brethren that the Lord was going to supply me a house. I wanted him to give me a house. I agreed with him that he would give me a house and give me a car in Pensacola where we're going. And you know what? The severance pay came in. There was a big judgment against, let's see, what was it? I forget, was it the gas company or something like that? I hadn't entered into any of it, but they paid me a whole bunch of money because of some overcharging or something, and a lawsuit, which I wasn't involved in. But the money just came in, and then the severance money all came in at the exact same time. So when the Lord wants to move you somewhere and set you up, he can certainly do it. I agreed 1 week before that he was going to give me the money to buy a house and a car and move to Pensacola. And 1 week later, he started that process, and it all came to pass just that way. And I had enough money. It ended up, I bought a house, bought a car, and ended up with enough money to live on for a year, even after I was giving money away to everybody that was in need around me. And so, you know, where we're going, saints, he is the same Almighty God. He's no respecter of persons. He's going to take care of you. He'll meet your needs. You know, I just agreed with the brethren, a real simple prayer, you know, that the Lord was going to do this, and he did it. And, of course, it was a great witness to them because they saw I wasn't worried about it. You know, our house there, Mary was asking me, you know, when we decided that we were going to move and should we sell the house? And I went to the Lord, and the Lord said, "No, I want you to give it to so-and-so." And that was another miracle, because they had just lost their house, their company house and company car. Had just lost it. I had to get in touch with them, find out where they were and what was going on. And come to find out that when I called them, the Lord had told me to give them the house. And they when I called them, they just lost their house. Boy, isn't God awesome? And so I told them to come stay with us until the Lord works things out. I already knew I was going to give them the house. And so I told them to come stay with us. And when they did, you know, we went out to eat. And I told the woman, I said, "Say, Karen, you remember that dream you had years ago about somebody else living in our house? But you didn't tell me who it was. You just said somebody else was living in the house. I said, you knew who it was, didn't you?" She looked at me and said, "Yeah." I said, "It was you, wasn't it?" She said, "Yeah." I'd never known that till the Lord told me that and showed me that, you know. I said, "Well, you can have the house then." So, I mean, they were fixed up, and we had to walk by faith and get our house in Pensacola, and the Lord supplied them, supplied us, and it's just, it's been awesome knowing the Lord. It's been like a prophet has been with us everywhere we've gone. It's been awesome to know the Lord and see His awesome deliverance and blessing and mighty work for us, you know. And He'll do it for you, saints. Don't worry about the things that are coming. The Lord is your provider. He's your Jehovah Jireh. He's going to take good care of you. Put your trust in Him and rest and give praise unto Him and thanks unto Him. He is a mighty, mighty Savior. And Father, we just thank You for blessing Your people. I know there's some great shakings coming and people are going to be moved. And we've heard that this nation is going to be a nation of refugees moving themselves from place to place in many cases because of different problems and disasters and so on and so forth. And we know that people are going to be moving away from the Gulf Coast because of disasters there. And we thank You, Lord, that You moved us away from there in time to get all settled and get things prepared for other people that are coming and so on and so forth. And we've seen a lot of that, learned a lot too, had miraculous provisions given to us here that we can't tell anybody about yet. But God, we thank You for taking care of all of our brethren out there, Lord, who are uncertain about their future. But they should know that You have already taken care of all that. You've already been there before them. Because You don't dwell in time. And Lord, we just thank You for You doing Your awesome, awesome work and all Your preparations. And yes, the beast is going to rise up. But many of the people that have been listening for years, they know better than to rise up against the beast and wrestle with flesh and blood. But to wrestle with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And thank You, Father, for that wisdom that they're going to be able to pass on to others. Thank You, Father, that Your people who are following You and have been tested and tried with things like the faction and the false revival movement and things like this and have been found faithful. And they're following You, Lord. And we just thank You for Your awesome, awesome provision for them, O God. In the name of Jesus, we acclaim it and we praise You for it. We know it's going to be done. And thank You, Lord, for Your protection in Your Psalm 91 and Your Exodus 12 Passover and all those things, too, that You've provided for us for the days to come. Thank You, Father. Thank You. In Jesus' name.